Welcome to The Upside with Callie and Jeff.
As usual, the meows and chirps that you hear in the background are baby Olivia sitting on Callie's lap.
And the potential dog barks are Lily is our security. Our dog Lily, she is looking out the window, and it is about the time of day we're recording this that people are walking their dogs. And Lily hates small dogs and doodles, those two breeds.
Yeah.
She has small dogs and doodles, hates doodles. She has singled them out almost.
Which is so bizarre, because who hates a doodle?
She hates all of them.
Doodle's nothing but love.
I don't know. Maybe she's the kid with anxiety and doodles are so happy and carefree. She's jealous. I don't know. But if there is a small dog or a doodle walking outside of our studio, you will hear Lily barking.
I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast or not, but last week Sadie got into a garbage bag.
She did.
She did. And ate the entirety of a rotisserie chicken.
Bones.
Not the, like, the chicken, the human. We had eaten the drumsticks, the wings, the meat off of it. But everything that was left, the carcass, she consumed the whole thing.
She also consumed a bunch of dirty diapers.
Well, I don't think she eats the diapers. I think she just kind of like getting the frosting off a cupcake.
That's disgusting.
But that's what she does. And so the chicken bones, the diaper stuff, alarming. The chicken bones, really alarming, because they can tear up the dog's inside and require expensive surgery, expensive repair. And I wouldn't say this in earshot of Sadie, but she's reaching the age where an expensive repair, you start to question it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you know, it's like having a... It's like having a car and you get an expensive bill on your car. Right. And you're like, do I get a new car?
Do I really need the air conditioner and the heat to blow on the passenger seat? I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. Car's 15 years old.
Yeah.
Do I really need the back windows to go all the way down? Do I? For $1,600, I don't. So Sadie's just reaching that age. So we were very concerned. We were
on death watch.
Yeah. Essentially, we did all the Google research. Google suggested a pumpkin, which is always a go-to for upset dog tummies. Google suggested
bread,
slices of bread, which it was really alarming when we threw a piece of bread to Sadie and she didn't eat it. At that point, I said, this is it.
But funny, two things we did right with the bread to make her eat it. One, we put Lily next to her and she will eat things even if she doesn't like spinach. Lily loves spinach. Sadie hates spinach. But if Lily's close, she doesn't want it to be unfair and she doesn't want Lily to eat her spinach. So right. She'll eat it. So for the first plain slice of bread, we put Lily next to her. Sure thing. She ate it. We also, Jeff doused it, the second piece we gave her, in chicken broth.
Yeah.
And that was gone. So she liked that.
So we did that for a couple of days. Then we had to take her on walks, like longer walks, to try to get things working through the system. The first 24 hours, she was kind of crappy. She was a little
lethargic.
She was sitting funny. I'm not going to lie. I was concerned. I had legitimate concern.
Yeah.
We're now a week out. She couldn't be more fine. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Sadie and I went on a hike, mm-hmm. a mile and a half, 2 miles. I don't know. Like, we went on it. We enjoyed the nice weather, went out on a hike. Totally fine. Tail up, dancing, prancing, smiling the whole way. That dog is a tank.
She is a tank. Everything that Sadie does that would put normal dogs into a coma, Sadie just breezes right through.
Now, she is. We do have to start to be more and more careful. The trash bag thing, that was a pure accident. She got locked in the garage. Callie went out to get something out of her car. Sadie followed her out. Callie came back and shut the door. My guess is Sadie probably looked at the closed door and then said, well, this is it. Survival instincts. And then went and found the garbage bag and started eating stuff out of it.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's Sadie at all. I think what Sadie did is Sadie looked around, looked at the door and said, And then looked at the garbage, the trash bag, and said, I could bark to have her let me right. in.
Or scratch at the door the way that I do.
When I want to come inside.
When I want to go outside and yeah. they haven't responded quickly enough to me sitting near the door, I will violently throw myself against it.
I could do that, but I am not going to because I see the opportunity in the trash bag. That was intentional. Sadie yeah. is very smart. She's yeah. very smart.
Well, anyways, I want to start today's show off talking about a...
So Sadie's alive. What's the point
yeah,
of that?
Yeah, Sadie's totally fine. I don't remember. The point of that. We were talking about Lily. Okay, so I want to start the show off by talking about something. Maybe I'm the last person to know about this, but to me, it was the coolest thing on the planet.
Okay.
I got a phone call yesterday from a friend of mine. I was about to get in the car and go run some errands. I was going to be in the car for about 30 minutes. He called 3 minutes before I was walking out the door. So I sent the call to voicemail and then immediately sent him a text message that said, call you in 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I closed out the text message, up in the upper left-hand corner of my iPhone was a weird symbol that I hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a phone handset, and it was a different color than I had ever seen before. Okay. And I touched on it. Guess what it was?
Huh.
A real-time transcription of the voicemail he was leaving me while he was leaving it.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I hadn't seen it before like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And then I saw it and I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
It's awesome, but it's pointless.
It's not pointless.
No, because you can see transcripts of your voicemails now.
Well, you can, but you have to like...
Yeah, but...
This is great because all you have to do is look down. So like I was on a phone call with you and someone beeped in and I didn't take it. And then I was able to see what they wanted. And I'm like, oh.
But okay. That's great technology that we want. The technology that we need, the technology that somebody needs to come up with, and I'll nominate them for a Nobel Peace Prize,
mm-hmm.
is Google searching unknown numbers as they come in.
Well, they kind of do that now.
It just says spam risk.
Telemarketer, or it tells you who the person is if they have a name associated with that.
In your phone?
No. Mm-mm.
Really?
Nope. Yeah.
Like a private citizen, they Google search it and they pop it up and they're like, this is so-and-so?
Not 100% of the time, and I don't know how that algorithm works, but I know that there are people in my phone, because it'll say maybe Jeff Dollar.
Yeah, but I think that's from your own data. So if somebody has sent an email to you, sorry.
That was aggressive.
Squeaky microphones. If somebody sends an email to you and in their signature it says Joe Smith, whatever.
Got it. Okay, so it's pulling from my email text.
Yeah, I want, when it's a completely random area code or whatever, I want it because that's what I do when I see a number. If it's not labeled spam risk, I'm like, let me Google this.
Yeah.
Chances of me answering it either way are zero.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I think that was from a recent update, so I don't think you're that far behind.
We spent a good part of the holiday weekend clearing out a storage unit that we have.
Now, our storage unit is something that's been on our list of things to tackle, and it's a couple $100 a month, and we got a bill that said, hey, your rent's going up. Pretty much. Because we've had stuff, we had two houses at one point. We had a lake house. Things just started piling up in our storage unit. Like we needed one and then we just kept it and got lazy about it.
We got the storage unit when we sold the lake house because we had a couple extra beds. We had a couple tables. We had a couple things.
Well, and at that point we were like, well, when we buy a house, which we assumed was going to be like the next year, we'll just move all this furniture into our new house.
No. Do you know when we got the storage unit? Now I remember when we had the house on Lake Forest, it had that whole basement that was almost like an apartment.
Yep.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And we put all the lake house stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Then we moved into the apartments at the Battery from that house.
That's not true.
That's not true.
No.
No. Then we lived at the Battery
into the townhouse. Yeah.
So when we moved out of that house, we had no more storage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the lake house stuff went into
Yeah.
Storage. Well, slowly the Lake House stuff went away, either Facebook Marketplace or giving it away or whatever. It started to disappear, but we had the storage unit. So, oh, we'll just put the...
We'll put the Christmas stuff in there.
We'll put these, you know, this box of clothes that don't fit anymore right now. We'll put this, we'll put that.
We'll deal with it later.
Yeah. And it became the we'll deal with it later thing. And then what ended up happening is we got a bill for 2 months of storage unit because the credit card didn't go through month number one. It was expired or I had to renew it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And when I saw it doubled plus a $25, you know, late fee or whatever, it seemed like so much more.
Yeah.
It went from being, you know, $150 a month to being over $300.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
No way. So we have been emptying that thing out for 3 days now, and it feels wonderful.
It feels wonderful, but here's the dilemma that I think a lot of people have, and I think more people have this problem than the opposite problem, which is keeping stuff you think you might need at some point. And our storage unit was, I would say, a good 90% of it was things we are afraid to get rid of because we are scared we might need them at some point one day. For example.
And they have value. Well, so I grew up in a house where if something had value, and I think a lot of people who are my age grew up like in the basement of my house, there's a whole thing of shelves.
Mm-hmm.
And there are baby food jars, countless, dozens of them, all filled with nuts, bolts, washer screws, whatever, right, that my dad probably uses one or two of those a year.
Mm-hmm.
But, and they only, if you had to go to Home Depot and get one, they're only a nickel each.
Yeah.
But
my dad has that too.
Yeah. Okay. So that's just, that's, I think that's our mindset.
Well, and, you know, and my parents have like very kindly, you know, saved a lot of things from my childhood that they thought I might want later in life, put it in their attic, X, Y, Z. Your dad has done the same thing because he sends us stuff all the time. But Jeff and I were like looking at each other going, okay, so we want to keep all this stuff. Why? Why do we want to keep it? And what's going to happen to it? Like at the end of our life, which sounds a little dramatic, but it's true. Because what? Okay, either you're this like scrap of paper that I was saving because it has like, you know, an inside joke or a funny thing on it that, you know, at one point made me really happy. Are my kids going to wind up going through that stuff like later in life?
Yes.
Like, does this even make sense? Like, does this even make sense?
They're going to hate you. They're going to hate you when they do.
So I think there's things, one, there's things that are sentimental to us and hard to get rid of. But here's what I've decided about keeping things versus getting rid of things and letting go of things. Because we can't save our entire, you can, we're not going to save our entire life's worth of stuff. And we're really trying to get better about that. Here's what, how I discerned what I was getting rid of and what I was not. Because it is hard. Like I had a whole thing of like Styx t-shirts from every Styx tour that I was a part of. I'm not going to wear them. I haven't worn them in 15 years, but they're going to, or 10 years, but...
Do you realize you're wearing one right now?
Well, I am, because this one actually fits.
Okay.
Most of them, like, they're too small. They're, like, I don't need... I probably had 40 Styx shirts. Like, I don't need that many. And my thought was, okay, well, the girls, maybe they'll... It'll be cool for them to have, like, a vintage Styx t-shirt at some point. So, my discerning, do I keep it, do I not, that I think will help you, Jeff, when you're doing this, because I think it's probably a... It's hard for both of us. I was going to say it's harder for you, but I think it's hard for both of us, is to say, does this, whatever it is, help me tell my life story to my kids? Like, will my kids know something cool about me saving this? And not just will they want to see it, but will they get to know me better by XYZ? And so I saved, you know, like our marriage vows. That's something that they'll never, I don't know my parents' marriage vows.
Yeah.
But if I found it, it would be neat to see, you know, that I would know them a little better if I saw their wedding vows. So maybe the girls will go through, you know, the stuff that I have chosen to keep and think, oh, wow, that's super cool.
It's funny that you said you kept a couple Styx shirts that might be vintage, mm-hmm, vintage and cool for them someday, because I found a whole case of old apparel, a whole case, you know, a Rubbermaid, whatever it's called, storage bin. And it had all this old radio station merch of mine. I got rid of virtually everything. What I kept were a couple of Braves jerseys from when I worked at Turner Field. Well, yeah, Turner Field.
Yeah.
When I worked for the Braves at Turner Field, I kept a couple of the Braves jerseys that say dollar on the back.
They're authentic jerseys, right?
Yeah.
They're team jerseys.
They're team jerseys. Like, and then the only radio station thing that I kept was a black jean jacket that says Jammin' 94.5 on it, which was my very first big market radio station.
Yeah.
And I will say this, radio station merchandise is crap.
Yeah.
It was, and I kept it all because I'm like, oh, this will be so cool. This will be so cool. There was a jacket from a radio station I worked at in Philadelphia that was not like high quality and nice. But it was not, there's no vintage.
Did you bring the jean jacket home? I want to see it. What if I want to wear it?
It's at the storage thing. It'll be home by the end of the month. But all of this stuff from Atlanta at the time was cool. But I was like, gone. Got rid of all of that. I found from my radio station in Tucson, probably one of the heaviest winter jackets I've ever seen in Tucson, Arizona, where it never goes below 60.
Right.
So bizarre. I mean, it had leather sleeves.
Like, who made that decision?
It was, I sent it to one of my old Tucson coworkers and said, why did we have this? This is heavier than any jacket I ever owned while I was in Syracuse. No idea why, but it was in there. And then, So I kept the one jacket because I do think that Ellie and Olivia might like it. And I kept the Brave stuff because it's Brave stuff.
Yeah. That, is that, are those really the only things that you kept out of your memory boxes?
Apparel wise.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kept a Stitch to shirt that I designed.
That's cool.
Which I thought was like a cool story. I kept all of our original gratitude, like note cards when we first started before our, and our journals.
Yep.
I had a bunch of planners. Like, I kept my planners all these years from like 2008. Like, I don't need my planner. What do I need that for? Like, done. Throw that away. And then there was a really cool, at our wedding, we had, I saved our officiant notes, like his, what he said during his speech, because I thought that was really cool. And I forgot what he said, but he, there were a couple really poignant things that he included that I just think are great that maybe we need to like put in a frame and put in our house somewhere. But I also found at our wedding, we had this Make-A-Wish, Take-A-Wish thing, which everybody had a thank you note from me and Jeff, but I wrote them. That was their table card, like to tell them where they were sitting. And then they had a blank space to leave us a wish, like a blank card. And I saved all those cards. And a bunch more people we don't associate with anymore, whatever. But
well, it's not that we don't associate with them. It's just people that we're not super close to.
Yeah, and your old radio co-host.
Well, that's like that. One person. It's a, you made it sound like, yeah, well, right as soon as we used people for wedding gifts, we shunned them.
Yeah, that's what we did. That's not the case. There were a couple people that I didn't know. And I'm like, who is that?
Friend to your parents, probably, or coworker,
I guess.
Coworkers of mine.
But there were some really cool ones. And one that I found was from Mike Fowler, our friend who passed away.
Oh.
From ALS last year. And I sent the note to his wife, and it was marriage advice from them. And I thought that was really cool. So
what did he write?
He said, well, no, it actually wasn't marriage advice. There said, all our best to your new normal. 30 years later, we are still best friends.
Was that,
we love you, Mike and Pam.
Did he write that or did Pam?
If I had to guess just from stereotyping handwriting, I would say it was Pam.
Oh, okay.
But I just thought that was cool. So I saved some of the ones that had like really cool advice or people that, you know, are special to us. But it was cool. It was cool going through this. If I got rid of probably 70% of it and kept stuff, that tells my life story. But man, wouldn't it be cool if we could all write a book about our lives the way famous people do, for just for our kids to read and to know us really well?
How does Goodwill work? When you drop stuff off at Goodwill, do they sort it and resell it at the same store? Or does it get shipped to some Goodwill warehouse, then sorted, then spit back out? Because the perimeter of Goodwill is going to have an influx of Styx t-shirts and Q100 vintage polos.
You guys said polos. I don't even think I've ever seen you wear a polo.
Exactly.
We had Ellie and then we had Olivia. And when Olivia got here, I looked at Ellie and I'm like, gosh, she just looks so much older, which is crazy because I don't feel a day older. But the truth is that I am, and we're getting older. And now we have a responsibility of a family and making sure that we're prepared and have enough life insurance in case something unexpected happens is really, really important. And Fabric by Gerber Life makes it simple to get the protection that's right for your family. Fabric by Gerber Life was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. It's all online and on your schedule. There's no appointments, scheduling, or piles of paperwork. Just apply when it's convenient for you. You could go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes with no health exam required. Fabric is partnered with Gerber Life, trusted by millions of families like yours for over 50 years. With over 1,800 five-star reviews, they're rated as excellent on Trustpilot, which is important. You got to know that other people have found success when you dive into something like life insurance. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/upside. That's meetfabric.com/upside. meetfabric.com/upside. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Insurance Company, not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
When Ellie, because she'll reach the age first, reaches an age of discipline that requires good cop, bad cop, who's going to be the bad cop? And if it's you, can you handle it?
No. Well, maybe. I mean, I'm getting better as like my hormones were dying down from pregnancy. During my pregnancy, I could not see Ellie upset, or I would just get like almost physically sick. Like I couldn't handle it. I think it's whoever is the favorite parent is the one that has to be bad cop.
Favorite parent would have to be bad cop?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because if she already doesn't like the other parent, it's just going to make them like us less. So if she's like not really feeling mom right now, if mom disciplines, it's like 30 times worse. It makes her not like me more, as opposed to you being bad cop and she loves you. And then I get to be good cop and then she likes me more. Like it even scales a little bit.
And how does that work? Is good cop, bad cop is that something that should be embraced with kids, or do parents always have to present an absolute unified front?
I think it depends on what it is. Like I think
the reason I'm asking is because Ellie got in trouble the other day because we were taking Sadie the Tank. Ellie and I took Sadie the Tank out for a walk right before bed, so it was dark, and she wasn't doing a great job listening to me, and it because it was dark. Even there's no traffic.
Right.
It was quiet out and stuff, but it just made me nervous.
Yeah.
And so I gave her two warnings and said, Ellie, if you don't listen again, we're immediately going home. And she tested me, and we immediately went home.
Yeah.
So that makes me the bad cop.
Right.
Right? And then we came in the house, and to me, because it was safety, that was an egregious enough offense that there should have been no whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you stepped outside those lines the night's over, and I could see you. She was really upset when she came home, and I could see the cracks in your foundation.
You may have seen the cracks. I don't know that she did. Maybe she did. But I stood in solidarity with you. Like, I think on the big stuff, you stand in solidarity together as a partnership, at least you and I do. So I said, you know, why is daddy so upset? Like, why did you have to come back? And then she told me, and I'm like, you know why? Because daddy's, you know, because you kind of gave me a recap and then I regurgitated what you told me her by saying, you know, so I think in that, but if it's something little.
So when, like, you use good cop, bad cop, is that when she wants 3 cookies and somebody says only you can only have 1? And then the good cop says, well, what if we have 2? Is that the thing?
Well, I don't think I would do that really in front of you because I don't ever want her to think that we're, like, not united. But there was a time, like, a couple weeks ago where you were like, okay, pick out, you can have, like, 3 more chocolate chips or something like that. And then I was like, Ellie, here's 2 more. You know, because I knew that that's something that it wouldn't make us look not united.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so I think, I don't know. But the big stuff, we got to stand united.
So I, yeah, now that I'm saying it out loud, I don't know that there's ever a situation. This could be, our phone number is 800-434-5454. I would love an example of where good cop, bad cop could step in. You know?
Yeah, I don't think my parents ever, my parents were so annoyingly united that I can't remember a time in my childhood where they weren't talking something over or deciding something together. Like, I have no recollection of them doing that.
What about, well, let me talk to your father. Is that even a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's not good cop, bad cop. It's, we need to get on the same page about this, so we'll make a decision and come back to you.
You want to have your friend Jenna spend the night. Dad says no because, for whatever reason.
Then it's no, then the answer is no. It's
no. Would there ever be a situation where your mom would say, well,
no.
Your dad thinks that blah, 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 but let me talk to him.
No.
Oh, really?
Not ever. My parents were, like, totally united on a united front. And I remember when I was a kid being so annoyed that they would have budged on that.